Hello, hello.
Hello, everyone.
We are back. Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast number 14.
14.
Ski Town Breweries. That is today's topic. Today, it is your lovely, wonderful, friendly host. It's Mario and Brian. Mario, how's it going?
It's going good. Good. Had a good week. Looking forward to the podcast this week. It's something that hits home for us.
Yes, definitely. And we're doing it on a Friday today, which again is weird. Just like last week was weird Friday. On a Saturday. But you know what? Life is a complicated place. We make things happen when we can make it happen. So we're good. We're in a good mood. It's Friday. We're talking beers. So
it's like happy hour and beers, like on Friday night.
It is. It's perfect. Actually, it's perfect timing for this podcast. So, you guys want to hit us up, you know the drill now. SkiBumPodcast.com. You can email us at SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Highfalutin Ski Bum, and Twitter at SkiBumPodcast.
You know what I love last week? I think I texted you. I have the podcast on my Apple TV. I was like, we're up there. We're everywhere.
Yeah, we're showing up everywhere now. I'm using an app on iOS called Overcast, which is great. It's a really nice app. It's free, and there's some in-app purchases you can buy it to, like, you know, get the speed if you want, like, a 2x or 5x. I don't know, like, listen, anything 5x, but I think you can unlock that if you pay for it. But it's great because the moment I uploaded the podcast onto our website, I got an alert on my phone showing, they're like, oh, Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast number 13 available to download now.
It's awesome.
I mean, fantastic. I don't know how it works, but it's awesome. So
Steve uses Overcast for some of the stuff. I know Overcast. He's used that before.
Yeah, it's great. Stitcher, if you're on an Android.
Steve, what do you think?
You know, Overcast is a pretty great app, but it's my favorite one to use right now for the podcasts.
All right.
We really should get that third microphone so I can talk too, but...
Yeah, I'm too lazy to set it up.
You know what? Next time, I ordered it. It'll be coming, and we'll get you back into the fray.
All right.
Do you say?
That'd be pretty cool. I'm going to make a couple more drinks for you guys.
All right.
Thanks, dude.
That works for us.
All right. So that was the information. And Mario, what do we got for the weekly flavor today?
Oh, well, weekly flavor. Oh, yeah. Once you hear that sound, you know, weekly flavor's coming up.
Weekly flavor. So since we're doing, you know, Ski Town Breweries this week, we figured we'd get something that was local ski brewery, you know, close to the topic. So I picked up some Harpoon UFO Big Squeeze Shandy, which is a lovely unfiltered offering with grapefruit juice. So it's a nice summer light kind of beer, you know, if you want.
Summer's become in the last 2 or 3 years like shandy season.
We don't really like calling it summer. We like calling it almost ski season.
Almost ski season.
So. But you know, you commoners and you know, you people, you haven't been indoctrinated into the Highfalutin Ski Bum
two
vernacular
seasons.
Yet. We just there's only two seasons. Yep. There's ski season and almost ski season.
Exactly.
So right now we're in the almost season, and we're gonna shandy it up, especially tonight. So it's great. It's actually pretty tasty. You feel like grapefruit. If you like, it's beer-ish. You know, it's not like something. Like usually we like the big heavy IPAs, but this one, if you want to throw a couple down, have them at the pool, at the beach, these are great.
Now I gotta really say good. I love Harpoon. I've been to the brewery up in Vermont. On a ski vacation that it was 80 degrees that one year in February.
That's usually not good.
Was not a fan of that trip, outside of the fact that I got to visit Harpoon and Ben & Jerry's and go to Lake Champlain. Did a lot of other stuff aside from not skiing. But
you Harpoon, turned lemons into lemonade.
I did. And I love Harpoon. I love their IPA. I mean, it's one of the things I look for, like, on draft, and this is pretty good. I've had the UFO before, but not this one. This one's
Harpoon salad, and this one, it's great because you know it's a little bit that you know it's sweet but bitter, you know, because of the grapefruit taste and 4.5%. So you can drink a bunch of them. They sell them in cans too, which is great. So if you get that Burton sling, you know, you put the five beers
nice.
In there, and you can sling it up and easy to crush and take with you to the beach. So
well, at the ski house this season, I was searching through, and there weren't any of my favorite beers out there. So I was like, you know what? Let me rifle through these Harpoon. They had the UFOs. So I put those with orange. It was awesome.
So is UFO, like, that's pretty much one of their lines, right? And they just do different versions of it?
I think it's unfiltered.
Yeah.
UFO. But they have, like, the white UFO. That one they have all the time. And that's the one I rifled through. I was like, yeah, it's there, and I like Harpoon. Let me try it. So I kind of got hooked for, like, a week on those.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So we're both drinking those. If you want to check it out, Harpoon, they're great. And they're out of Windsor, Vermont, which is roughly, it's a little less than an hour from Killington.
Mm.
And I'm sure there's a more local ski resort. So it kind of falls into our topic today. But before we get to the topic, we are going to talk about ski news.
Right.
We actually have some ski news this week.
Legit ski news.
Yeah. So the first one is, you know, kind of the bummer, you know, one is that it's roughly 110 days until snowmaking begins in the Northeast.
It's not a bummer because we're closer than we were yesterday.
Look at you. You are such an optimist.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
I'm counting down. I'm doing extra workouts now. Like, I have 110 days to work out even more.
110 days. So you got to make it happen. You know, right now it's June 19th, but it's going to be November 19th very quickly.
You know, I got to slim down. I got to get into my ski gear.
That's true. Get into your onesie.
I got to start doing my aerials. We got to do the jump zone because we got to, you know, practice our aerials.
This is true. So, yes, we got 110 days, but if you are in the Southern Hemisphere and you are somewhere near New Zealand, you are having a lovely weekend because they got dumped on this past week. New Zealand, Big Friday, they got a 48-inch dump.
Boom.
Which is awesome. Yeah. New Zealand's South Isle Ski Resorts got 1 meter, 40 inches of snow. Mount Hutt got 120 centimeters or 48 inches of snow and remained closed today due to avalanches, high winds, buried roads, and down electrical towers. But they're hoping to be open tomorrow.
That means a beautiful ski area right there.
It's going to be a great weekend. Yeah, if you're down there. If you want to hop on your little private jet and scoot on down to New Zealand, it's going to be a great place to get some tracks in tomorrow.
So for the next one, I know we're almost hitting the dog days of almost ski season. Which I like to say the dog days, because when everything's closed, that means we're in the dog days. It's hot. It's crappy.
It's just getting started, my friend.
Yeah. So what's the next one? This leads right in.
Yeah, there's only two more ski resorts that are open in North America this weekend. Whistler closed on June 7th, but they're opening up tomorrow again for a month of glacier skiing on Hortsman Glacier. So what... they were saying that they made – it caused some controversy this week. They were announcing that they're going to be performing snowmaking on the glacier this summer to attempt to slow down the glacial retreat, which is a little bit scary, but, I mean, it's good on their part that they're –
fighting back, beating back the beat on global warming.
It's all you can do at this point, yeah. I mean, we can only – you know what? Everyone can't drive a goddamn Prius, you know? They are the most unfun cars in the world to drive.
I think the problem is everybody's, like, taking their regular car and throwing it into the ocean, and then they go get a Prius. So the other car is still out there.
That's a problem. So besides Whistler, they're saying the Timberline over in Oregon, they're going to be open. But they're saying usually they go into September. They said they'll be lucky to get through July this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a really bad season for the Northwest. And they're not going to have nearly the season they had. They haven't had it up to this point. And, you know, they're usually open through September. Timberline is not going to happen this year. So...
Mm.
Not a lot of great news on the ski front there.
So along with that was A Basin just closed the 14th.
Yes, last weekend.
And then there were two. So that was three net, and then there were two. So
yep.
Not fun to hear.
And then what else do you got? You got another ski story, right?
So ski story. So Olympic Committee came out this week, did a press release. They did a lot of voting, a lot of discussion. So they came out with some changes to the events. They voted down, so from the X Games, you had the big air for snowboard and skiing. They voted in snowboarding, so we're going to see big air snowboarding in the next Olympics, but we're not going to see big air skiing.
Okay, so you're talking about Olympics now. So we're taking the X Games event, and they're putting it into the Olympics.
Which I love to see. That's awesome, right?
Yeah. I remember watching that. I mean, I think they had it last time, the snowboarding one in the Olympics, and that's where the one snowboarding lady...
That was a slope style.
Slope style. She, like, fell and, like, smashed her helmet open. Like,
yeah,
she
that
fell,
was pretty brutal.
She fell, hit the back of her head, and smashed her helmet open. And she was, like, I think she was, like, the gold medal contender. I mean,
I remember her helmet was, like, ugh.
Oh, it was nasty. Yeah, it was a nasty fall, but, you know, she was fine.
But it's amazing to see how, like, you start with something. It's almost like all the stuff Red Bull does, the X Game does, and now... Let's put that in the Olympics.
It's like trickle-down skionomics.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It starts extreme, and then it just kind of trickles down and becomes what you do.
So that was kind of a disappointment for some of the skiers. They were like, oh, come on, ski big air. You know, why snowboarding, why not skiing? But I don't know. Snowboarding, I think, is more conducive to big air, right?
Yeah, it's funny how, like, look at the ski events. I mean, they don't have a downhill snowboarding. They don't have a giant slalom snowboarding, you know?
Well, they did have the parallel slalom snowboard. Last time, remember that with the wire? It wasn't a wider snowboard, it was a thinner snowboard, but it was like they were parallel on it and they were like skiing,
mm-hmm.
like boarding down, but they had the whole slalom thing. They're taking that away, so that's going to be removed.
Okay. So, I mean, that's the thing.
I'm sure is troubling for some people that were training for that, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but it kind of goes to the point, too, of, you know, where skiing is more of the, you know, the speed, the technique, while the snowboarding is usually the big air.
Yeah.
You know, the more the events that kind of go in that category more.
But I got to say, the snowboard slalom, when I was in Italy, everybody and a lot of people there at that ski mountain love to do, like, slalom skiing style. You know, they go out and that's what they do and they enjoy that for the day. And I saw some guy on a snowboard that was doing, like, a slalom. He was going back and forth on the mountain. And it looked pretty cool. I was like, wow. And I've seen it, you know, on TV. So that was interesting that they took that away. I don't know what happens in these discussions.
How do they categorize that and determine that this is, you know, is it almost like the 10% law, like that Jack Welch from GE came up with? You always get rid of like 10% of your worst performers every year.
Yeah.
They have some sort of, you know.
I mean, was there not a following for that maybe? I don't know.
It's possible. They may have some sort of like algorithm where they decide, you know, we have to get rid of these certain events and we add a couple more. But, you know, I mean, it definitely sucks for those people who were training for that event. Yeah. But, you know.
Hopefully it wasn't like FIFA where there was bags of money involved. So, you know, we're good.
Oh, that.
I just had to bring that
up. It's all alleged. Allegedly.
That thing it's going to unfold for years.
It's such a mess, but... So, now, back to our main topic, Ski Town Breweries. So, we recently, you know, here in Jersey, there was a local brewery that just opened right near us called Magnify, who we are, you know, reaching out to and hope to have them on the podcast soon. So, that kind of got us thinking about, you know, beer and breweries and tying it into skiing. And we did a little research and tried to find some of the, you know, some of the ski areas that have some of the better breweries around in the area. And we found a couple of great articles online, one of them from On the Snow and the other from Curbed. So we figured we'd go over and kind of list some of the ones and see, you know, talk about the ones we've had our own personal experiences with and see what you guys think. And if you have any ones that you want to, you know, talk to us and that we may have missed, please hit us up, Twitter, Facebook. You know how to find us, skibumpodcast.com. All the info is there.
And the good thing about this topic before we get into it is as it becomes more popular and it's like more like the trend right now is microbreweries and microbrews, it's great to see these pop up in ski towns because it just goes together. Everybody knows, you know, you go out for opera ski and great to go to a brewery.
Yeah, and the great thing too is that, you know, say you want to be a ski bum, but you have this ability to brew beer, you could just roll out to Telluride and, you know, start honing your craft. And in a couple of years, you have your own little brewery. You're cranking out beer. You're becoming a millionaire, and you can ski whenever you want.
It's awesome.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, a lot of these people are really, they are living the dream. You know, they're working hard, but they are people we should all look at and be envious of and try to emulate.
And they're pushing that small business idea and the craft brewing model, which is really good. I mean, you know, Sierra Nevada was one of the biggest ones to start. And I remember hearing an interview with them on another podcast. And the head of that was talking about how he's very much into helping other brewers get up and running because he just wants to spread that idea. And it's a very... From what I've seen, all the people I've talked to are very collaborative with other brewers, and it's really nice to see because they're not like corporate, like they want to control the world. They're about just sharing their craft and just brewing some good stuff.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, Colorado's always had a really big craft beer scene. Vermont, Oregon, Washington, a lot of those areas where there is a lot of great skiing it's kind of gone hand in hand.
Yeah.
And now it's just getting bigger. So do you want to start hitting off some of these ones on the list here?
All right, so some of them that I haven't been to all of these, but I think I'd like
We're
to.
We're working on it.
I'd like to be to all of them. I'd like to go.
It's one of our podcast goals.
So we have Deschutes Brewery and Public House in Mount Bachelor. So if you're skiing Mount Bachelor, that's a good après ski. And we've been told, rumor has it, their Black Butte Porter is supposed to be really, really nice.
Yep. Another one, if you're in Oregon at Mount Bachelor... Also Mount Bachelor, the 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and what are they known for? It doesn't say what they're known for in here.
Yeah.
50-50 Brewing Company in North Star. So if you're in near Lake Tahoe, they've got their Donner Party Porter.
I love that name.
Which is actually really funny. I mean, that was only 150 years ago.
It's funny, haha, but like the actual thing was messed up. But
no, if you've ever read about that, it's brutal. I mean, you know the story. You know, they were.
You Google that. That's pretty rough stuff.
There's nothing that we can add to it that'll make it better. So just Google it. But that was only 150 years ago. Now we have beers named after them. There's ski trails named after them.
Yep.
The train, the Amtrak train that goes into Truckee, goes right through the Donner Pass now.
Wow.
It's crazy.
You just read up on the story, and then if you ever take the train through there, you could think about, like, wow, I'm so glad I'm on a train.
Yeah, it's humbling, but we live in a pretty awesome time right now, so we're pretty privileged.
All right, so Jackson Hole, which I hope to ski very soon. I'm actually earmarking that. Snake River Brewery and Restaurant, so ski Jackson, boom, right there.
Nice. Mammoth Brewing Company.
Mammoth.
They got the Black IPA, which is supposed to be awesome.
Nice. Let's see. I don't want to take the one that you've been to.
Yeah, Wasatch Brew Pub in Park City, Utah. I have been there, and they're known for their polygamy porter. I went there, my wife and I went there a couple years ago, and we, it was the Saturday we were flying back out. So we, we weren't going to ski that day, but we, wanted to spend some time in Park City and walked around town, checked the scene, and we went to, to the Wasatch Brewery. And we got there, and of course, they have like 20 beers on draft that they make there. And I'm like, all right, this is amazing. What am I going to have? And so the waitress comes over. She asks me, oh, what kind of beers do you like? And I'm like, oh, I love IPAs. Like, what do you have on draft? And she's like, well, we can't serve IPAs on draft because we are Utah.
Why got to be so anti-IPAs?
Yeah, Utah has their weird laws where they have to serve their known as 3-2 beer. So it's 3.2% alcohol by weight, which is 4% by volume.
Wow.
Yeah, so anything that's above 4% is considered liquor.
Huh.
So there's different laws
for that. So they would consider that the same as like a bourbon?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Exactly. It's really funky. So, if you're there and you're just trying to get a beer, it's got to be, these 4%ers. And IPAs are usually 5% or higher. That's part of their characteristics. So there was no IPAs available. So I decided to try the Polygamy Porter, which was really, really good. So much so that I actually bought a coffee mug with their logo and their little... It's cool. There's a picture on there. It's like one of those old, like, biblical paintings. And it shows a guy and, like, six or seven of his wives around him. And it has their tagline, which is, bring some home to the wives.
Nice.
And another tagline says, what does it say? It's like, why have one or something?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
I remember seeing that and being like, you gotta tell me something. What's going on here?
Yeah, right. No, but
funny.
But it's a great brewery. I mean, they have tons of awesome beers on draft, and it's worth checking out if you're in Park City.
All right, so let's see. Durango Mountain Resort has Ska Brewing Company. Aspen, there's Aspen Brewing Company. Must be nice, right?
Yeah, right.
Let's see, Dylan Dam Brewery in the Summit County ski area.
So it's like Breckenridge and Copper and all those places out there. I was looking up Breckenridge Brewery because I thought for sure they would be one of the ones we'd have on our list here. But they're out of Denver, which I guess it makes kind of sense. It's one of those like close enough kind of things.
Yeah.
But I would have thought Breckenridge Brewery would have been in Breckenridge, but it is not.
Where's the Breckenridge distilled? There's the Breckenridge Bourbon. Where's that distilled?
Oh, the Colorado whiskey, right?
Yeah.
They call it. Yeah.
I'll have to look that up, too.
That is a delicious beverage as well.
It is wonderful. I'm actually eyeing it right now because I see the bottle over there.
Ooh. If you do a nice job on this podcast, maybe we'll let you have one.
Yay.
And then, near and dear to our hearts, Long Trail Brewing Company. It's in Bridgewater Corner, Vermont, which is right by Killington. I mean, they have a lift that's maybe 2 minutes away. The one funky lift that goes to Route 4.
Yes.
That's right next to the brewery.
It's a long green trail that goes down there.
I think it's like 6 miles plus.
Yeah.
From the top of Killington Peak all the way down there.
And which is good because you just bomb it.
It's a really fun cruiser. I mean, you see some amazing houses. It's a lot of fun. It's not like, again, it's not technical, but it's a super fun run. And there's this, 30-minute... gondola ride you take back up after you go down there. But yeah, if you were to park down there, you are right by the Long Trail Brewery. And back in December, last December, Mario and I, we went there for dinner to the Long Trail Brewery.
It was awesome.
And it is so cool. The food was great. And of course, they have all their beers on draft. They usually have like a one or two sneak preview beers for the next season that's coming out.
They actually have a Century Ride coming up. So if you do cycling, they have a Century Ride. I'm trying to think when it is. It's coming up soon. I was thinking about doing it, but I kind of don't want to trek all the way up there because there's local rides. So I was going to do that. But
yeah, and then Long Trail, they have such a great bunch of beers. Their regular Long Trail Ale, it's one of those things we ski Killington a lot. So it gets to the point where you're like, oh, Long Trail again, because it's like the default beer. But a month or so ago, I was at my mother-in-law's, and she had I hadn't been up there in a couple months. She had a refrigerator full of Stella, and I found two Long Trails, and I popped one open, and it tasted so amazing. Like, you forget how good it is when you have so much availability of it around.
But let's talk about their beers. So
their default Long Trail Ale is Dynamite.
I love the regular Long Trail
Ale. It's so good.
But then this year, what was one of your favorites?
This year, they came out with their Sick Day IPA. There's two, yeah. The Sick Day IPA came out with last year. Just the name alone is awesome. And they have beautiful packaging very hoppy. On it, too.
Very hoppy beer.
It's very hoppy.
It's good. I'm like an IPA, but like I have to be in the mood for certain IPAs, and that's definitely the hoppy side.
Yeah, and they were talking about the reason why they brewed it the way they did. They were like, this is the kind of beer, like, it just tastes like you called out of work and skied for the day. And what is the perfect beer to complement the end of that day? And they said, this is what we want it to taste like.
Nice.
And it's dark for an IPA, but it tastes perfect after a day of skiing.
Yeah, it doesn't taste that dark. It's just very hoppy.
It looks dark, though. Like, yeah, it looks dark. The color of it, because these IPAs are a little more
golden. Which is very hot. It tastes actually light, but hoppy. Very hoppy.
Yeah.
It's and then the other beer. One is...
Oh, the Limbo.
The Limbo.
And that's a year-round beer now.
Yes.
The Sick Day one is just a winter-specific beer, and hopefully they have it out again next year. I don't know why they wouldn't, because it got great reviews, and they were selling it everywhere. But the Limbo is another... it's a double IPA, too, right?
I think that's a double.
I believe it's not a double, sure. And oh, it is so good.
I just had the summer on draft at a bar not too far from here. And that was, the summer was really good. Usually, like, some of the summers are kind of crappy, so I'm kind of like, let's just try it and see how it is. This one was really good. I actually like that one.
And then also, you know, good, this is becoming like a Long Trail commercial. You guys should hit us up and sponsor us. But skibumpodcast.com. But we had the double bag, too.
No, we had the triple.
We had the double and the triple.
And the triple, because we were there, and they had the triple. There's one that's limited, and I think that's the one we might have had.
The triple is the limited one, I think.
And then there's a triple bag aged. We didn't have the barrel age. We had the regular triple. And that was right on the tap. It was awesome.
Yeah, Long Trail. You really can't go wrong with them. And one of the cool things is a lot of the places when you're going to Killington, the liquor stores on the drive up, they have the make your own six packs. So you pop in there when you're driving up and you can get, I want to try a couple, two Limbos, a couple double bags, a couple Sick Days. And you could really figure out what you want without buying, a case or so.
And then I got one of those, the big bottle of the Imperial Pumpkin. Now, this is where Brian and I have arguments all the time. I believe pumpkin should be year-round. He believes that pumpkin there's a season, which I understand the seasonality of it, but I love pumpkin all year round.
Who is eating pumpkin pie in spring?
This guy right here.
You're the only asshole eating pumpkin pie
in spring.
I love
pumpkin pie. Why would you eat cherry pie only in the summer?
Cherry pie, oh yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Why would you drink Long Trail Ale? Only one season.
See, this is how spoiled we are as a society right now, that we can have lemons and pomegranates and blueberries any time of the year. It used to be you only had these fruits during their growing season.
I clone a sheep. I do whatever I want.
I don't want to know what you do. Whatever you do to a sheep is your own business.
But I want double pumpkin in the summer, right in the summer.
Then have one. You know what?
That's my prerogative.
No one can stop you.
I actually saw like a few pumpkins out.
I think it's weird and gross, but you can do that.
I was at the liquor store not too long ago, and I saw a bunch of new pumpkin beers, and I was like, wow, they're coming out even in the summer.
No. What it means is they didn't sell in the fall, and I'm trying to get rid of them now at half price. I saw we were up at Mount Snow, was it? Like, I think it was a year or two ago, and it had to be the end of February, and all of a sudden they had Pumpkinhead, the shipyard Pumpkinhead on draft. I'm like, is this leftover or something? They're like, oh, no, it's fresh. I'm like, you are lying.
How fresh is it? Yeah.
They make that in July, I think, so it's ready for the end of August.
That's like, remember that weird liquor store we went to looking for the whipped lightning? And
We went to 13 liquor stores to find it.
The one we found it in was there was like the oldest beer, like I think they had Zima, still there. It was that old.
Well, they were. We were. It was the summertime, and they had all these Christmas beers sitting around.
It's in like special section.
It's like, you know what I'm looking for at the beach is something with nutmeg in it. It's exactly the flavor I'm going for.
I'd like to have a Christmas ale about this time.
A little allspice and nutmeg. It's delicious.
But they had a great selection of pumpkin ales.
They sure did.
That was
pretty funky. Yeah. But yeah. So Long Trail, you really can't go wrong. All their stuff is dynamite. And then we got another Vermont beer that's mentioned on this list here is the Magic Hat Brewery, which you are a fan of.
I love Magic Hat number 9. And I remember a few years ago being like, you know, I remember drinking it a bunch of years ago when I was up in Vermont. And then afterwards, I'd buy it in the store. And it kind of disappeared. And then, I got to say, like 2 years ago, it started appearing in all the bars. They changed the distribution, I think, is what happened.
I think Budweiser, didn't they buy them up?
Or the distribution. Yeah. And now they're... Like, they got more distribution there everywhere. And I tell you what, I love Magic Hat number 9. It hits the spot. It has a unique taste, but...
Yeah, they do some pretty cool... They're out of Burlington, Vermont. So they're near, you know, Stowe and Smuggler's Notch and all those great places over there.
Burlington's a nice city.
And, yeah, then Grand Teton Brewing Company. They've got their Grand Targhee.
Grand Targhee.
And last but not least from this list, there is... Wild Mountain Smokehouse and Brewery in Eldora.
Oh, it's not last but not least. We skipped over one, which we neared and dear to our hearts.
Hop Diggity IPA. What do we miss?
Telluride.
Oh, my God. How do we miss
Telluride that? Telluride Brewing Company. Telluride I love Telluride Brewing Company. We came back. We were like, we got to get this stuff around here.
Yeah, that stuff was great.
So one of the ones they're known for, I know a lot of people rave about it, Face Down Brown is, I've had, it's pretty good. I think we had sampled that.
Yeah, that was really good.
I really like the Redfish Ale and the Tempter. They have a Tempter IPA. It was pretty hoppy. And it was kind of cool because I got into Telluride, I think, a few hours before Brian did the one time. So I'm walking around town. I didn't have far to walk. I think it was across from where we were staying. And they have this place called Smuggler's Brew Pub.
Yeah.
And they brew their own beers. And then they had, like, the Telluride stuff on tap. And it was awesome. Very convenient.
Their stuff was really good. So that was pretty much the list that we saw. And then there are a couple of things that we added. Now, I know this is another, you know, as big of a controversy as the pumpkin beer is, this could be one that we've brought up probably at least 3 or 4 times on the podcast already. Up in Vermont, the Alchemist Brewery, the Heady Topper.
The Heady Topper Capital, huh?
Heady Topper. They were brewing, I think they're still brewing out of Waterbury, which is right by Stowe and Smugglers and Mad River Glen. They are opening a new brewery and visitor center next year. And Vermont Beer tweeted out a picture of an Instagram photo. They're showing the progress. Not much yet, but next year we should be able to get more Heady Topper.
They're going to have a Heady Topper fountain there? That'd be great.
Oh, that would be magical.
Like a little water fountain you go in and have
a Heady Topper. What about a Heady Topper moat?
Ooh. I would settle for having at least a Heady Topper that you could buy.
That would be helpful, right? Well, you got to go to the... Yeah. I don't even want to get... It was just a depressing time where you didn't get our Heady Topper.
The funniest thing, everybody has stories. So,
it's like being in Vietnam.
It's like you have to know a guy that knows a guy to get you some Heady Topper. So, somebody was telling me that, like, there are some local liquor stores and local gas stations that have it, but they won't say anything or have it on the shelf. And if you ask them, they're like, oh, yeah, I have it right here behind the counter. Yeah. So, it's like they wait for you to ask.
Well, I mean, a lot of the you know, the bars will have it.
Yeah.
You know, like we walked into the one bar and they were just like, oh, we got plenty of it.
We always have it, you know, so it's available. But
yeah, it's just, I think the problem is a lot of people going up there and just buying up a ton, throwing it in their car and driving back, you know, to Jersey or New York or something. And like,
I don't know what this is, but yeah, hoarders. Beer hoarders.
Scumbag hoarders. And then, you know, the problem is they charge like, you know, 5 times for it to some idiot. And then people pay that and they keep doing it. And it'd
be a new show, Beer Hoarders. System.
Beer hoarders, yeah.
Beer hoarders. I got 2 million Heady Toppers, but I don't drink it. I don't drink beer.
Yep. And then there's one other one that I mentioned that I've been to in Whistler. There's the Brew House, which is a local, you know, craft. It's a local brewery. I don't know if they sell their beers anywhere, but they brew their beers. They got good food. The reviews on it are pretty funny because they're, I think it's maybe got like 3.6 out of 5 on Yelp or Google or whatever. Because people are like, I had to wait so long to get food here, and it was too crowded, and I couldn't get in. And, like, people are so hysterical. But we went there on a Saturday afternoon. We got into Whistler, and it was awesome. The beers always taste a little bit better when you're arriving at your, you know, vacation destination.
Everything tastes great, right?
Oh, I think I've mentioned it before. I had, when we went out to Tahoe a couple years ago, it was my first big ski trip, and we had a stopover in Phoenix, and my wife and I went, well, girlfriend at the time.
Ooh, hello.
Yeah, now my wife.
But when you tell the story, you got to say, but when you tell the story, you got to be like, my girlfriend, and then, you know, have her say, well, wasn't it me? And have her guessing, you know.
I call her my ex-girlfriend, and she hates that so much.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like, yeah, last night, hooked up with my ex-girlfriend. She hates that so much. So we had a stopover in Phoenix on the way to Reno, and we had about an hour to kill, so we went to this local bar there, and we got two gin and tonics. And those gin and tonics were probably the most delicious beverage I've ever had in my life. I kept that receipt in my refrigerator, like, magnetized onto it for probably 3 years. Wow. Until it faded away and I couldn't read anything on there, because it was such a I'm almost at vacation drink was just perfect, and the vacation was awesome, so it was just,
that's a good idea. You should do that for every vacation, and when it fades enough that you can't read it, it's time to go back to there.
It's so, always time.
So Tahoe, you go back to it, and then you have every there. Year. Yeah. So that's when you're like, yeah, I don't have a receipt, I have to go back to Tahoe.
That's actually a pretty good plan, yeah.
All right, so now let's talk about, like, so I don't know about brew pubs or, well, breweries internationally. We've been to a bunch of places internationally, but I know every international place has their local flavor. So you go in there and there's, like, the local beer, and usually you don't have a wide selection of, like, two or three different beers. You have a Pilsner and maybe a dark beer, and that's really...
Well, that's especially in Europe. Yeah, they don't have...
That's what I'm talking, yeah.
They don't have 50 beers on draft like we have here.
Right. I mean, when we were in Ishkill, there was two different there was a Pilsner and a white.
A Weiss. Yeah, the Franz's Connor was the big white beer they had there.
I forgot what the Pilsner was. It was
Erdinger, maybe?
I think you're right.
I think
it was
so.
Erdinger. And then you find, every once in a while, you'll find a bar that had, well, like we found an English pub that had Guinness on draft.
Right.
So it's kind of, but there wasn't much of a selection.
A couple places had, like, Augusteiner.
Yeah.
Was it Warsteiner? No, they didn't have Warsteiner.
Augusteiner was Fire and Ice had.
Fire and Ice had that, yeah.
Augusteiner. So Augusteiner I found in Cortina, and then they didn't have all the Italian beers. Like, they didn't have Peroni. They had, what's the Nuova Sturo, whatever that brand is. That was the one they had in that region. It's just very strange. So when you go internationally, you'll notice, like, you're going to drink something local to the region, at least, even if it's a big international.
Yeah, it's funny how different our cultures are in that regard. They're like, oh, yeah, this brewery is making this exact same beer for 500 years. It's like, yeah, well, these guys over here make 16 different beers, and they've been around since last week, and one of their beers has sriracha, another has weed.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's completely different
beer cultures. We're about the new and trending, and they're about, like, this is what we've had for 200 years, and this is what we're going to have, you know?
Yeah, this has worked for this long. Why should we change it?
It's, yeah, very interesting.
Very different. But it really just, it kind of shows, you know, it's the way they treat their beers are very similar to how they just are culturally in general. Yeah.
It's nice. That's the flavor, you know?
It's great, you know? Like, you don't need seven different IPAs on draft sometimes. When you're out there, you really just enjoy... It's part of the experience. You enjoy the mountains, the ski, the après, their whole culture there. And the beer is, you know, you enjoy that culture with that particular beer. If you go out to, you know, Colorado, you can go to a place that's got 13 beers on draft. That's great.
Yeah.
But when you're in Europe and you're doing it right, you have what the locals have.
European style. But the funniest part is, so we got used to drinking a lot of IPAs, which are 7%, 8%. You go out there, and we were out in Austria, and I'm having the Pilsner, and it's like 4%, and I'm like, it tastes like water. Like, I think I just had water. Like, let me have another, you know?
Well, that's also why, remember the time we took a little break at like 9:30 in the morning? We saw people drinking like liter beers.
Yes.
At 9:30 in the morning, because they are so light, you can have one, go back out there, and do some more skiing.
That's what you do. And then you have a Radler, which isn't in this country. It's...
Similar to our shandies we're enjoying today.
Yeah. Homemade Radler.
Homemade Radler.
Cool.
So, yeah, lots of good stuff. Lots of great beers. So, wherever you're going, you know, try to enjoy what's local. You know, don't be drinking your PBRs wherever you go. Have one once in a while, but you know what? Enjoy what's local, because you're going to find some great things. You're going to get some new experiences, and you might change your whole way of thinking.
So, a guy walks into a bar in Austria, orders a PBR. Gets crap kicked at him. I don't know.
These things happen. All right. So if there's anything else that we missed, or you guys have any new information for us, please hit us up. SkiBumPodcast.com, SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com, Facebook, Highfalutin Ski Bum, or Twitter @SkiBumPodcast. I think it's time for a little around the horn action.
That's time for the round of horn.
That's some around the horn music right there.
All right, so...
what do you got?
First thing I got is... I was thinking I saw an old movie the other day, and they had a pharmacy in it, like an old-school pharmacy where they had a soda fountain thing.
Like
and
an apothecary?
Apothecary, like, you know, like a 50s movie. And I was thinking, you know, why did they get rid of that in the pharmacies? So you have Walgreens, you have CVS, you have all these big pharmacies. It's basically go in, get your prescription, get your other crap, and get out. There's no hanging out, having a soda, getting a shake, getting an egg cream or something like that, right? That's dating myself.
But egg cream, Jesus.
Egg cream.
Right there, Grandpa.
But now there's this mix of, you have juice bars, you have, like, shakes. Everybody makes, like, shakes and things like that. Why not have an old-school pharmacy with a soda fountain and make, like, herbal things in, you know, like, herbal concoctions? And what if you're a medical marijuana person? Why not have a shake with little medical marijuana?
Show your card, you know, get your prescription there and have them just blend it up for you, right?
So I'm thinking that's, like, another business opportunity. If the pharmaceuticals and the, you know, pharmacies are listening, that might be a good idea. Just
kind
thinking.
Kind of taking, you know, if the big pharmacies are like a Budweiser, it would almost be like a craft pharmacy approach.
Or let's say you have a shop in Colorado, and now you have shakes or you have juices, and in that shake or juice, you put a little oil of something in there to make you feel a little better.
Kind of like poison ivy, but not oil. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I just saw on the news today that Delaware has signed in a marijuana decriminalization bill. So voting along party lines, Senate lawmakers gave final legislative approval on Thursday to a measure that decriminalizes the possession and private use of up to an ounce of marijuana.
Wow. So now that means for people that don't know what that means, right? It's you can't get you can still it's still illegal.
You can't buy it.
Can't buy it. It's still illegal to have, but they decriminalize it, meaning they're not going to bust you unless you have over a certain amount.
You're not facing criminal sanctions. Yeah.
You might get a fine or something like that still,
$100 right? Civil fine.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Which, you know, think about it. If you had a little bit on you and they're going to put you in jail versus somebody doing something really crazy, that's yeah.
And, of course, the police and the prison guard unions were very upset about the bill. So follow the money. That's whenever you see any of these bills, you can always follow the money and see why people are voting against it.
And there are a bunch of states you were saying you also looked up that are looking to legalize by 2016.
7 states on the verge of marijuana legalization, not just decriminalization.
Wow.
And there are Massachusetts, Missouri, California, because right now they only have medical.
Recreational?
This is full legalization.
Oh, wow. Recreational and medical.
Yeah.
Wow.
Missouri, like I just mentioned, Hawaii, Maine, Nevada, and Arizona.
Now, we talked about maybe doing, like, just our opinion on this topic for another podcast, but I know recently there's a lot of information that's coming out about this. I mean, Dateline did something 2 weeks ago.
Time magazine had something a few weeks ago that we mentioned.
There's a bunch of books coming out. There's a lot of information coming out, a lot of it to educate people on what the real issue is. And I know, what's the one thing? Charlotte's Web is the type of medical marijuana.
It's a particular strain that has no THC, but yeah, it's been used
for children. So there's no psychoactives. There's nothing that's going to, you know, make you act like crazy or anything like that, like reefer madness, right?
Yeah, it's none of the psychedelic effects.
So there's no THC, and it's just a medicine instead of creating a pill with all these side effects.
It's a plant medicine. It's plant remedy, yeah. Yeah.
It's a holistic herbal remedy.
Exactly, yep.
And I remember watching the show, and they're like, there's no side effects, these you know, and they were showing kids that had these...
The seizures, right?
Seizures and other conditions, and it was just a better medicine. Like, if you look at it as a medicine, it was very interesting.
So. Yeah, and it's horrible to see these politicians thinking that they know better and can tell these people what works for their children.
Well, what was really good about it, like, I commend the politicians down in, I think it was Virginia, was the big state they were talking about on that show. And they actually, you know, after they discussed it and they talked about it, considered what was going on, they legalized it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good outcome, but it...
Well, no, Virginia hasn't legalized anything. I think that family had to move to Colorado just so their child could get the medicine they needed.
There was one family that moved, and I think, I got to double check, but I thought they legalized it at the end of the thing.
Oh, really? Yeah. As far as I know, they haven't legalized anything there.
Wow.
But yeah, we'll look into that. And we could, yeah, maybe we'll do a whole show about that because there is a lot of great information. I just read a book a few weeks ago called Chasing the Scream, and it talks about, you know, the whole why is marijuana illegal and how did it become that way. And, you know, it's you look at it and, you know, again, there's always
other stuff involved versus what the actual, yeah.
You know, a writer always has an agenda. You know, something it's the
agenda.
To push.
There's always agendas going.
But, you know, even the author has it. But you look at the facts and, you know, it's really... It's one of those things you're going to look back on in, like, 50 years. You know, like, our kids or grandkids will look back and they'll be like, wow, this was illegal at one point? And we'll be like, yeah. Just like we look at prohibition now. You look at alcohol being illegal. What did it solve? It solved nothing. It helped nobody. All it did was make organized crime rich. That's all it did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. But we figured we would touch on that quickly.
Yeah, so that show that I saw. So, Virginia... They signed a law protecting patients who use marijuana oil. So they're using the Charlotte's Web oil for epilepsy.
Oh, okay.
So they're moving towards that. It wasn't a broad... But like you said, there's no THC, and it was kind of, you know, a medicine.
Yeah. So what else you got?
All right. So while we're on a similar topic, so there's a study, how much alcohol is too much. So I think we mentioned this before, but there was a... Time magazine did a 2 drinks a day is about the limit before negative effects are seen.
Okay, so that would be what, 2 glasses of wine or 2 glasses of beer?
Right. So 2 beers, 2 glasses of wine, 2 shots per day. And it depends on the weight. So like if you're, you know, smaller, so that's why they usually classify women different than men, because women are usually smaller than men. Big fat guy like me, you know. I could have like 5, so yeah, so it just differs, but then there's negative effects. I don't know what that really is because I didn't read the article, the whole thing. Saw negative effects, I was like, yeah, I don't want to.
You don't want to see that part.
Yeah, that's bad mojo.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
So I was at a conference this week, and one of the presenters at this conference was Stefan Sagmeister, who is a famous graphic designer. And in his presentation, he, you know, discussed, you know, design and beauty and happiness. And I've been pretty much obsessed with, you know, his TED Talks and following his website after seeing him, because he's a great presenter. And he's done some amazing work for, you know, the Rolling Stones and David Byrne and, you know, Lou Reed. And it's cool, his website, which is sagmeisterwalsh.com, they on their website, their homepage, their navigation is part of their... live camera view of their studio. So they have a camera kind of up on their ceiling and it points down so you can see people's workstations and their floor. And on the floor they have these 6 tiles which are their navigation for the site.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And the camera changes every 10 seconds and shows a new, you know, still image. And it's cool, you see people moving around, working on projects, and it's fascinating. Like they've done awesome work. And one of the things he mentioned in his talk is that his studio, every 7 years, they take a 1-year sabbatical.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the last one they did, they went to Bali. So, you know, it's a year off, but it's a year off of client work. They were still doing things. Like, they learned how to build
furniture.
Do they
all take it together?
You know what? I couldn't figure that out. I don't think so.
Because that would be kind of cool, too. Like, if you think about getting something out of it, everybody's taking a sabbatical, at least in the same area.
It's got... positives and negatives.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for him, what he was talking about is, I mean, he actually built furniture, which awesome. He learned how to build furniture.
When would you normally have the time to do any of that, right?
Exactly. And he said what they did, he had a schedule every day. It wasn't like he just kind of sat around and did nothing. He had a schedule, like, you know, from 9 to 10 in the morning, because he's Austrian, obviously, you know, very thorough people. So 9 to 10, he was going to, you know, write. From 11 to 12, he's going to meditate. From 12 to 2, he's going to, you know, do something else. So he'd have a set schedule for the week.
That's
and
awesome.
Doing particular things. And he said that the work that came out of that was better than anything they did before.
Wow.
So it actually had positive results.
Well, I think about it too. Like, I talk to, you know, I have friends that are teachers, and they go, they teach, and then they're off for the summer. They don't work second jobs anymore. They did that when they started, but I guess they're at a point now where, you know, they're making good money, especially in the Northeast. I mean, teachers get paid pretty well. But they're looking at, like, their summer as, like, a sabbatical. They do whatever they want. Like, they travel. They do all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, I really wish in my industry I could, IT computers, like, I wish I could explore other stuff or do something, like, for 2 months. That'd be great, you know?
That's our long-term plan. We're going to hit winter really hard, and then once the summer comes, we'll take our sabbatical, we'll regroup, and then we'll be, we'll be shamanized. We'll have a whole new outlook on things in the fall.
We'll still be podcasting, though.
I don't know.
I'm not stopping.
I don't know.
You can't stop me.
You know what? We're going to leave a camera in the studio that will just record what's happening. Maybe take some sound clips out.
That'd be kind of cool.
And I think we can make that happen. That's down the road, though. Don't worry. We're still going to have us.
So Sagmeister, you said he did TED Talks?
Yeah, he's got about 4 or 5 of them.
Oh, I love TED. And then he was in that other movie that you mentioned that we watched.
Yeah, Helvetica.
Helvetica.
The Helvetica documentary about the typeface. He was one of the designers that was featured in it.
Yeah, the Italian guy for the Helveticas. He's
Massimo Vanelli, yeah.
Massimo Vanelli. He's awesome. Him and his wife, right? They work together.
Yeah, it's amazing. They've done great work.
I love that show I saw on Netflix, and they were talking about how the two of them just argue. Like, it's like they curse at each other, yell at each other, but that's their process. They're just an old Italian couple, and that's how they communicate. And it's like, that's
it all. Works, yeah.
They said if you're from the outside, you think, like, they're going to, like, break up and quit and not work again. And then they come up with this great stuff.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's the process. It's a process.
All right. What do you got next?
So I saw a cool little article looking at cars, high-performance cars. So Jim France, so he's the head of NASCAR, or the son of the founder of NASCAR, went to Ferrari to visit. They said he did some laps on the track with some Ferraris, and I'm like, oh, that must have been so awesome. So I put it on our Facebook so you could read the article, which is great. They got some pictures of some sweet cars and, you know, the little press photo ops that they had there and the little story about it, which is great. But, you know, outside of that, I'm coming out with, you know, I'm going to start my own rumors that maybe NASCAR is going to go from maybe they'll introduce some performance cars or maybe a performance car circuit where you could drive Ferraris, like NASCAR drivers and Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Teslas.
I know they did that IROC race. I don't know if they still do that anymore. And they would have one particular, they would have like one car they would build for the IROC race, and every driver would have that
pretty
same
cool
car. Yeah.
As long as it's standard, right? It could be any car in theory with NASCAR.
Mm-hmm. So that could be interesting.
Yeah. I'm speculating, you know. I'm just throwing it out there. There's no foundation on that. It's just my...
We know nothing.
Exactly. It's up there with my Bilderberg, theories, my conspiracy theories, which the meeting on that was like 2 weeks ago.
How'd that go?
Just saying. I don't know.
I thought you were there.
I got my inside stuff, but I can't talk about it on the microphone, or I might not be here for the next podcast.
That's true.
Just saying.
All right, so I got another one that I saw. This was on Liftopia. It was an article called Work Hard, Shred Harder, Co-working Spaces in Ski Towns.
All right.
So, you know, co-working spaces are, it's almost like a one big office, kind of very open space that you can rent out a desk or, a little cube, and you can do your work there. It's become like a big thing since 2005, and they started doing it in San Francisco. They have them in New York City, you know, Hoboken, all over the country, all over the world, really. And this article just kind of points out that a bunch of places are doing that now in ski areas.
That's awesome.
So there's one called Tahoe Mountain Lab, which is in South Lake Tahoe near Heavenly, Spark Jackson Hole in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Assemble Park City in Park City, River Co-Works in Basalt, Colorado near Aspen Snowmass, Base Camp in Avon, Colorado near Vail and Beaver Creek, Durango Workspace near Purgatory, Elevate Co-Space in Summit County, Colorado, near Apraho, Copper, Keystone, Breckenridge, Tahoe Mill Collective in North Lake Tahoe near Squaw, and The Cube in Midtown Reno, Nevada.
Hmm.
So all these places, and, you know, we mentioned a lot of these in our, you know, beer list. So if you can somehow figure out a way to work freelance for a beer company at one of these workspaces in a ski town, you are pretty much living the dream.
Well, here's the other thing I'm thinking, right? So now there's, if you're working with a company that's East Coast based, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going 3 hours behind. You have an extra 3 hours that you can go skiing after work.
That is very true. I did not think that.
If you flex your time a little bit, you know, start maybe at 7 or something in the morning. Now you're getting the full workday in, which, you know, you're doing a New York you know, East Coast.
If you could do a 7 to 4 in New York,
yes,
you're done by 1 o'clock.
So I'm saying you have lunch and then you go out skiing. You ski half day.
Ooh.
Now, if you could manage that, that'd be pretty sweet.
That would be huge. That's a great idea. Ski
1 to 4, so.
Yeah, so we're going to post all these articles on the show notes, on the website. We'll put them on Facebook and Twitter also. But, yeah, there's some really good opportunities. And this is something that, there's a lot of other co-working places that are going up.
It's been going on for a while. Too. Like, I know somebody worked in one of those, and they said there's good and bad of it. You know, like people hog the copier or something like that.
But it's also awesome for networking opportunities, too. You start talking to people around you, and like, oh, you're a designer. Oh, we're looking for a designer on this project, and some really cool stuff can be created there. Yeah.
And I also think, I hope, with a lot of companies, especially in New York right now, there's a big shift in office space. Like, a lot of companies are moving downtown, or they're moving to other locations, like my company's moving, your company's moving. Like, there's people that are moving because, you know, space is getting built out and other spaces is older. And as people get into more of the open space idea, I'm hoping that companies embrace more of the work remote. Now, if you work remote from anywhere, why would I stay in my apartment in New Jersey when I could be in by A-Basin and skiing, you know, on the weekend?
Absolutely right. Yeah. You know. But with the prices of real estate these days and the amount of what it costs to put a whole team in a building somewhere that no one wants to be at and the time spent to commute there, when the cost of having the equipment at home is so cheap, it's really changing the way that companies are looking at telecommuting and office space.
And they save money. They're not paying for electric. They're not paying for internet. You're paying on your own because that's your benefit to work remote. So, you know, I think it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Win.
It's a win-win-win.
The Michael Scott triple win.
Bingo. You got anything else?
So there's a beer festival in September that's building up in Captain Lawrence Brewery, Elmsford, New York. Pretty cool, chill spot. I've been there not too long ago, and they actually bring in a pizzeria, brings in a pizza oven, and they work pizzas out of there. And
oh, really?
There's a bocce ball court in the back. It's like a really cool, chill place. Like, we got to go up there one day. I mean, I went up there only once, and I know the folks up there. Really cool. They have a really nice tasting room. Pretty cool stuff. But along with that comes to keep looking out for local brew festivals going in your area because they're all over the place. They're going on all the time. September's a big beer month. When you get into September, there's also wine starts up in September-ish too. There's a lot of festivals and stuff like that. So keep on the lookout for those.
Yeah, once Labor Day hits, it really starts going crazy with all the different beer festivals. And you can check out our podcast from a couple weeks ago. We have a whole list on there of all the different breweries, all the different beer festivals, where they are, how to get more information. And you can check that out and let us know how it goes. If you have a good time, anything interesting, anything we need to talk about, please hit us up. Let us know.
And you have another one, right, for Vermont?
I do. I just saw this today. They have the Vermont Beer Week also in September 18th through 27th. And I went to their website. There isn't a whole lot of information yet. Their full site is still fermenting, .. But they always do a great job up there. So there'll be more information. And we'll give you guys more details, too, once we know more.
Nice. And today's June 19th. And what started today is the Aspen Food and Wine Festival. Now, this is a well-known, if you're a foodie, this is one of the big events. It's right in Aspen. A lot of wine, a lot of food. Food Network, foodandwine.com is out there. Like, all these dudes are out there, all the top chefs and everything. So the Eater has a tip, has a page out there, an article, and it talks about 10 tips for crashing the sold-out Aspen Food and Wine Festival, which I absolutely love. So they have all these ways to get into the festival, like if you couldn't get a ticket, if you just want to get in and see stuff. So some of them are like, you know, join the 5K just to get in, stay in the town next door. So it's an interesting read because it's become such a big thing. It was completely sold out.
Grab chloroform and rag, find someone with tickets, put on their mouth, and take their tickets.
There you go.
Is that one of them?
Just climb a fence, jump in, you know. So there's a lot of it's cute, but Aspen Food and Wine Festival is a real deal, you know.
That's a big one, right?
Yeah. A lot of excellent food out there. I want to see the snow blades of steel.
Snow blades of steel.
So I'm still thinking about the snow blades thing. I got to figure that out. I got to wrap my mind around it. I need some more feedback. So if anybody has feedback, gotten feedback from a few people that I know that are just like, don't even pursue it. Like, just leave snow blades alone. But
so yeah. So the majority of people you've talked to, they're
I can't do it. I can't leave it alone. I want to know. I want to know why. Maybe I don't want to know why.
You know what? This could be your quest. This could be your destiny.
Deep down in my heart, I might be a snowblader.
And you know what? There's nothing at all wrong with
maybe
that.
Not.
You got to take it and run with it and be the best you can be.
Come out of the ski closet and say I'm a snowblader.
There you go. All right, so I think that's all we got this week, right?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, cool. So, yeah, guys, please check us out. Check out the website, skibumpodcast.com. Email us, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Highfalutin Ski Bum, or on Twitter, @SkiBumPodcast.
And one thing to remember, in the next week or two, we're going to be putting an interview with the Magnify Brewing Company.
Yes, our first interview.
Yeah, so we're going to get the founder, and I'm going to ask the founder if we can talk to the brewmaster, because I'd like him involved. That'd be nice to find out a little bit about the beer and stuff, and the process, you know.
Yeah, we're going to get some more information. We're going to have a podcast that's going to be centralized around that interview, and that should be coming up in the near future. So cool. That's all we got for today. So thank you guys so much for listening. We love you guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Stay high, stay flutin'.
Peace!